You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Judith Sears Poisson. Coming up, businesses are looking at different ways to package their employee benefits, in part to appeal to younger workers. But new research shows that millennial women lag behind their peers in actually using time off. First, the usual take on the recall elections in Wisconsin in 2012 is that they were a bust. Governor Walker kept his seat and then notched another victory. And in the Senate, Democrats earned a small majority for a short period of time, thanks to the recall, but they lost that edge in the next election. Our guest reports that even though the recalls didn't yield much for Wisconsin Democrats, though, that time was instrumental for evidence gathering in what is now the Wisconsin gerrymandering case before the U.S. Supreme Court. Matthew DeFore joins us now. He's a state capitol reporter for the Wisconsin State Journal. Matthew, great to talk with you again.
Hey, thank you very much for having me.
So take us back to the recall elections of 2011 and 2012. Who was up against those recalls and what were the results?
Sure. Well, there were 13 Senate recall elections over 2011-2012. If you remember, of course, there was a lot of opposition among Democrats to the governor's proposal to basically scale back public sector collective bargaining, which became 2011 Act 10. And the Democrats, gathered lots of signatures to recall not just the governor, but there were 13 recall elections. Some of those were triggered actually by Republicans who were upset that the Democrats, some of the Democrats, or all 14 of the Senate Democrats, fled the state. And when all the dust settled, the Democrats had the majority, a one-vote majority, for 5 months.
And that 5 months was looked at as not very significant, or, you know, was it really worth it? But you say that during those 5 months, what was accomplished might have been a bigger deal than it seemed at the time. Why is that?
So we've obviously heard a lot about this redistricting case that's now before the U.S. Supreme Court. And what I come across was an interesting story that connected the dots between that recall election victory for the Democrats in 2012 and some key evidence in this redistricting case now before the U.S. Supreme Court. It turned out that the Democrats, when they had the majority, were able to compel the law firm that was representing the legislature during the redrawing of the maps in 2011, Michael Best and Friedrich, they were able to compel them to turn over the entire case file that was part of an earlier redistricting case called Baldus versus Brennan. And in that case, they had gone through a lot of struggles to get documents in the discovery process. This was a Madison attorney, Doug Poland, and a Milwaukee attorney, Peter Earle, were the main lawyers, and they were trying to get records from this law firm. And it was the Democrats who were able to basically get them to turn over the records once they became the majority.
So it sounds like, just to make sure I'm understanding this, when the Democrats were not in power, they had no power to be able to compel release of these documents. Once they were in the majority, they had that standing to do so.
Right, and that was reported at the time. What was new in this story, it was pointing out what happened after that, which is, and again, some of this has been reported, but some of it had not. And what was new here was that what they did is they took that to the judge. They found 34 documents that were not included in the original discovery. They took that to the judge and they said, we want them to release the entire hard drives from the computers that were used to draw these new maps. And so they got those hard drives. They ended up finding hundreds of thousands of deleted documents, and you know that basically pushed them into a case where they settled with the attorneys for Michael Best and Friedrich. That was all reported. But flash forward 2 years, and where the story picks up in my piece that was in the State Journal on Sunday, is that they ended up using those hard drives in this new redistricting case, Gill versus Whitford. And so when they were coming up with a standard to prove partisan redistricting, they came up with a test that has three different prongs, one of which is showing that there was a partisan intent on the part of the Republican lawmakers who were drawing these maps. And in order to show that, they found all kinds of evidence on these hard drives. And so when they went back to the hard drives They found some pretty key information that helped them prove that the partisan intent prong of their argument.
And Matt, let me ask about that, because you said that there were many, many hundreds of thousands of documents, I think you said, that had been deleted.
Right.
Were they able to recover any of those through forensic investigation?
Right. So what happened was in the Baldus versus Brennan case, they had a forensic investigator, a former Secret Service investigator named Mark Lanterman, who's based in Minneapolis, and he was allowed to do some preliminary investigation of these hard drives, and he was able to find that hundreds of thousands of files had been deleted. Now, during the Baldus versus Brennan case, that's pretty much as far as they went. It cost, I think, about $100,000 for them to even get that far with the evidence. And so they had a list of the files, but they didn't really get the details. They didn't recreate them or pull them off the hard drives. They did that a few years later as part of this Whitford case that's now before the U.S. Supreme Court.
And you talked about the need to establish intent on the part of Republicans. Are you talking about actually their intent in the redistricting that they wanted to put into place, or is it intent as in they deleted these files and that points to intent to hide evidence?
No, the significance of the deleted files is that it gave them, they came back later and were able to reconstruct some of them. And when they did that, they could show that with every iteration of the redistricting, every iteration of the lines that were being drawn by these Republican staffers who were doing it basically secretive conditions at the offices of Michael Best and Friedrich, they were trying to make the maps more and more Republican. So at one point they had a map that, you know, let me start from the beginning. They, when they originally looked at the existing maps that were in place during the 2000s, they determined through analysis of the voting patterns that the Democrats would have a 50-49 majority in the 2012 elections. So when they redrew the maps, they were able to shift the lines around and basically make them so that the Republicans would hold a 54-45 vote majority. They further, massage the lines even more as using, again, these computer programs that can draw them very compact and very specifically to try to come up with basically the outcome they're looking for. They had them up to a point where they were expecting that the Republicans could win 59 seats, again to the Democrats 40 in the 2012 election. And so when they were able to uncover all these spreadsheets, including one that had this heading, the tail of the tape, which is a boxing reference, they were able to present that evidence to the court to say, see, look how much they were able to, they were specifically changing these lines for a partisan purpose. They were doing it to win the election for partisan reasons, and that's why we think the lines should be thrown out as unconstitutional.
And do we know how far back those Republican redistricting efforts, plans, projections, when did they start working on those?
Well, this is a decennial process. It happens every 10 years, and it's the majority party in control of the legislature and the governor's office that does it. But, again, we haven't had one-party control of the redistricting process since 1951. This was the first time in 60 years. And so with, there's certainly evidence that they were able to uncover in their earlier trial, where they found Republican staffers saying that this was a once-in-a-generation opportunity to draw the line, the maps that Republicans had always wanted, and so they got to work on it, fairly soon in 2011, sort of while all the Act 10, demonstrations were going on. This was sort of starting to get into the works.
And Matt, briefly, as we wrap up, the Supreme Court is looking at Gill versus Whitford. This evidence is key for that argument. Would this case be where it is without the Democratic majority for those 5 months in 2012?
The lawyers for the Democrats certainly think their case is much stronger because of this. Is it the reason why it got to the U.S. Supreme Court? I don't think anyone can say for sure, but it certainly makes their case stronger.
Well, Matt, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Matthew DeFoor covers politics for the Wisconsin State Journal. He joined us to talk about how the short time that Democrats held the state Senate after recall elections was crucial for gathering evidence in the gerrymandering case that is currently before the U.S. Supreme Court. Coming up, we'll look at why young female workers are the least likely to use their paid time off and what would need to change in order to fix that. Stay with us here on Central Time.